Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 128. Psalm 128 and verse 1. Psalm 128, a song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Once again, we are glad that you're here. As we're continuing our examination of the book of Psalms, we're studying it one psalm at a time, the way it was originally written, later compiled in this order for us, to make it easier for us to understand. We're going to examine Psalm 128 tonight, and you could title it a phrase that is taken out of the last verse of this psalm, "Thou shalt see thy children's children." Now, as we're studying the Psalms, we need to remind ourselves, of course, this is poetry. It's Hebrew poetry, so it doesn't look like our English poetry, but it's structured differently in the Hebrew, and they would make a statement, and then they would state it, and then they'd come back and state it again, and they'd keep building a bridge every time they do this. And especially when you see things repeated twice, they're drawing a point. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 6, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination." Solomon didn't think of a seventh thing God hates. He's doing that to show you a point. This is a list of things that God hates. Here, certain phrases are repeated within the Psalms to prove a point, and I think we'll see that this evening. Now, our title is A Song of Degrees. They start at 120 and they end at 134. So if you do the math and you make that inclusive, you get 15 different songs of degree. Some may be translated in your copy of the scripture, a psalm of ascent. We're not really sure exactly what this means either. It could be that they're traveling, and as they're traveling, they're going to sing these psalms, maybe as they're making their yearly trek to Jerusalem. Or maybe they change in notation. One starts low, and then the next one starts a little higher and a little higher. They could ascend that way. Or they could ascend from thought to thought. That's probably a weak idea, except when you get to 127, 128. Normally, they're standalone bodies of work. But a lot of the content of 128 mimics at least what is said of some of 127. Because we know that one is of Solomon or for Solomon. And I think it's important for us to note both of them reference children, 127 and 128. And both of them have a reference to family as well. Let us examine our psalm tonight. Verse number 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now, you may be familiar, especially if you're coming with us here on Sunday and Wednesday nights, we're studying Psalm 119, which is the longest portion of scripture we have in the Bible. And if you flip back to the beginning of that, Psalm 119 and verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way of the law, who walk in the law of the Lord." And then here the psalmist says in Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." You see this idea repeated. You can go back to Psalm 1 and verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, or sitteth not. In his law doth he meditate day and night." We see this common idea of if you want to find someone who is blessed, they're the ones that do this. Or in the case of Psalm 1, they don't do this, they do something else. So here, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." Now that's not fearing God because you're afraid of him, but that's fearing him out of love, respect, and honor for what he's done for us. In that last line, he says that walketh in his ways. Makes me think of what the wise man Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 12:13, as he sums up this book. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Is that not the same sentiment of 128:1? Fear him and walk in his ways. Fear him and keep his commandments. Verse 2, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." This is one of the blessings of walking in the ways of God, is the joy that we receive from honest labor. Now, I know when you start using the word labor, some people don't like that, but we are here to labor for God. And do you realize that back in the beginning, before sin entered the equation, if you will, labor was actually a joyous thing? Hold your place there in Psalm 128. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man," that's Adam, "and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So man's first job on this earth, he was a gardener. And God put Adam in the middle of the Garden of Eden and said, "Your job is to make sure the garden's producing and keep it looking nice." And then you jump down to chapter 3 and verse 17. After sin has entered the equation, Eve has eaten of the fruit. She gives it to her husband Adam. He eats. He's willingly giving in. She's deceived. Paul tells Timothy that in the New Testament. In Genesis 3 and verse 17, if you look at the last half of it, it says, "Blessed," or "cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Do you realize what's happened? In the beginning, man's job was to be a gardener, and he was to enjoy it. And then sin enters the equation, and now God says, "You're going to have to work for your food. I'm not just going to give it to you like I was, but you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow." Well, here the idea of Psalm 128, verse 2, "Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands and you'll be happy." We need to convert that back into a blessing, at least in part. And you'll do that if you fear God and if you walk in His ways, as He says there in verse 1. Remember, this means your work will be honorable and it will be performed in an honorable way. Not because I have to go out and work for the Lord. It's, I get to work for the Lord. I get to do things like what Brother Bobby does when he goes to Jamaica, like what we do when we invite people to worship, when we take them a meal, when we have a Bible study with them. All this is work in the eyes of God. And so we can be happy when we do it, at least we ought to be. And remember, as the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than receive. We're better off if we're giving all these things to people and if we never see it back. You know, a lot of people work and they only work for a paycheck. And so when they get that paycheck, whether they're paid on the first or weekly, however they're paid, I don't care. But when they get that paycheck, they just see that as, well, I've done enough to get this amount of money to live. But if you're working because you enjoy the job, the paycheck is just a bonus. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking getting paid. Everybody should get paid if they've done an honest work. But if you're working just for the money, then that's all you see it as. But if you're working and you enjoy the work, that money's just a bonus. It's just a blessing to you. And we see that we should turn it into a blessing. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes for just a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, because it's okay if we glory, or rather should I say enjoy, the work that we've done. Ecclesiastes 6, verses 18 through 20. No, I've told you the wrong verses. I typed that down. And, well, I'll just quote it to you. Basically, I don't know why I said, forget it, I didn't sleep well today. Solomon, here's your assignment. Go home and read Ecclesiastes. This is in there. Solomon says it's okay if you look back at an honest day's worth of work and say, I'm glad with the work that I've done. Now, if you haven't put in an honest day's worth, you can't really say that. So what do we do? Number one, fear God and walk in His ways. Number two, you do an honest day's work. Is it in that passage? Oh, chapter 5. See, chapter 6, chapter 5, I told you it's in there somewhere. And then chapter 3, also you got to be good to your wife and good to your children. How do I know? Look at verse 3, back in our psalm. I know where this one's at. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Now, the psalmist is not literally saying your wife will be a vine and your children will be olive plants. This is the part where the poetry side kicks in. He's making that represent a different thing. Do you see the picture? Think about a neglected vine on the side of the house. It's not going to produce fruit, no matter what kind of vine it is, if you don't give it attention and if you don't give it the things it needs. So if you want to walk in the way of the Lord, you got to be good to your wife, he says. Great beauty and pleasure comes from plants. People decorate their houses with them. They have them in every room. You go in businesses, you go in restaurants, you go in Walmart, wherever you go, all these places have beautiful flowers, beautiful plants. People have gardens. There are groups such as Master Gardener for people, all they do is go out and plant. Plants are a good thing. But plants take work. You don't just throw it in the ground and hope it turns out okay. You have to work at it. That's what he's getting at here when he's saying, "My wife shall be a fruitful vine." You have to work together. And that could be husband if you're female. Maybe you've met somebody, and I hope you're not this way, but I've met couples, and it seems like if he's happy, she's not, and vice versa. They're never both happy at the same time, and sometimes they butt heads. It's almost as if they like to see the other one miserable. That's not the way God has planned for things to be. Ecclesiastes 9:9, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life." Proverbs 15:18, "Rejoice with the wife of thy youth." If you're rejoicing, you're not trying to pick a fight just to make somebody else feel bad. In Ephesians 5, when Paul's talking about that beautiful analogy between the way a husband treats his wife as the way that Christ treats the church, and you learn from Christ, and that gives us a good example, he says you need to love each other. Rejoice, because you're going to love each other like you love yourself. And in the story of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:12, it says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, what's he talking about here with this olive? What's that? He's talking about the blessing of children. Perhaps this is a family. Maybe if you want to picture it this way, sitting at a table under an olive tree, they're out there enjoying a common meal together. It's a picture of a happy man and a happy wife enjoying the company of their children. Look at verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He's already talked about fearing the Lord in verse 1. He's repeating it in verse 4 to make a point. And now look at verse 5. He says, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." That's Jerusalem. That's the hill that Jerusalem was actually built upon. "And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." Verses 3 and 4, mainly verse 3, he's talking about you having a good home. And then verse 5, you take that good home and you take it out to the community. You start at home and you work outward. Good homes make for good communities. You've heard the phrase, "As so goes the home, so goes the nation." I guess that's vice versa to an extent. Good communities bless good homes. And then you start hearing people, and they'll badmouth schools for this, and they'll badmouth organizations for that, because they say they're not treating the kids right, they're not upholding what the kids should do. I know teachers get a bad rap for this all the time, because it's all the teacher's fault. Actually, it's not. It's the parents' fault, because it starts at home. And then it goes out, because that's what he's talking about. "They shall bless thee, it shall come out of the home and go to the communities round about." Then verse 6, "Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." What's the payback from having this good home? What's the payback from fearing the Lord, walking in His ways? You shall see your children's children, and many generations come after you. Be faithful and have peace. You know, there are a lot of politicians, I'm not getting political, but there are a lot of politicians that will propose a social program to do this, to try to fix this problem, and then they'll turn around and propose this to fix that problem. I tell you how God says to fix the problem. You fix the problem at home, and then they take that out in the community. You teach what's right in the church, they take it home, they apply it, and it seems to just fix all the problems. You make the home as it ought to be, and it'll make the world what it ought to be. So guess what? It starts with me. It starts with you. Go back to verse 1. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Fears God. Keep His commandments. Do what you're supposed to do and be faithful to Him to the end. Now, who would have thought you could have gotten all that at six little verses in this beautiful song? Do it so you can have peace and see multiple generations coming after you that were raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now the question comes to you, and I'm going to answer this for myself, and I'm not going to answer it out loud. You don't answer this out loud for you, but do answer it. According to verse 1, could you be defined as a blessed person? Are you fearing God, and are you walking, are you keeping His commandments? If you can't be biblically defined as blessed, you need to start that tonight. I think you fear God because you're here on a Sunday night, but have you obeyed the gospel? Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Sins are washed away, come out of that watery grave, a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this evening, why not? Let us plead with you and beg with you. If you have, keep going, remaining faithful in death. We know a faithful promise will receive a crown of life if we're faithful to the very end. If sin has entered your life and you're not living faithfully, you're not fearing God, you're not walking in His ways, why not repent of that sin? Come back, be restored, and leave in a right relationship with God. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.